October 23rd, 2018, Sussex County Council meeting. First thing on is the approval of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have one recommended change to today's agenda. Under executive session, we can strike pending and potential litigation, leaving land acquisition. Leaving land acquisition.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlette, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I have a yes, motion carried. We have the minutes of October 9th. Any questions, corrections, concerns?
Thank you.
Hearing none, those stand approved. Correspondence, anything, Mr. Rutt?
Yes, I have a letter from the Delaware Center for the Inland Bays. Dear Sussex County Council, I'm writing to let you know that Sussex County was selected for the Center's annual Friends of the Bays Award in the partner category. This award recognizes the outstanding contributions of individuals or organizations that have worked in partnership with the Center over the years to protect and restore the bays. Sussex County has contributed to protecting the bays through the support of Central Sewer, stopping approximately 10,000 pounds of nitrogen from leaching into the estuary each year. Additionally, the county's continued support for the James Farm Ecological Preserve and assistance for reforestation projects helps to further the center's mission to preserve, protect, and restore the inland bays and the watershed around them. We will be holding a Friends of the Bay award ceremony during the center's volunteer celebration event at the James Farm Ecological Preserve on Friday, November 16, from 2 to 5 p.m. I would be grateful if representatives from Sussex County could be present to receive the award and say a few words. We will also be presenting two other Friends of the Bay awards for the categories of volunteer and business. An invitation to the volunteer celebration will follow shortly, as well as a specific time for the award ceremony for your scheduling purposes. Please let me know who from the county can make it. Congratulations and thank you for everything that the county does for the bays. Sincerely, Chris Basin.
Anything else? That's it.
So what do we do to keep the nitrates running out of the bay?
We must have done something. They're going to thank us for it.
Dig into your mic.
You're going to come a little close to him, Dan.
Thank you. Dig into your mic.
I'll do the best I can.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay. We would probably, Mr. Lawson, want to send Mr. Cole, being he lives on the inland bays, you know, I mean, it's, you know.
Absolutely.
Public comment, Mr. Guy.
I think you guys need to come down and see how nice it is down there.
Sorry.
Once in a while.
Okay. Just as a reminder, if you signed up for the public comment sheet, if you're here to speak on the comp plan, that'll be 11 o'clock public hearing, so you haven't got to sign up here. Paul Rigger.
Good morning. Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. To continue with the keeps being a following and keeps becoming a common occurrence is with the institutional zoning and the nursing home issues. The picture on there is up on the screen is a diagram of the next Board of Adjustment hearing for November 5th. Nursing home for the aged, caring as a simple special use exception. And going forward, it's like if you look at the building coming into it, the property, it's a 75,000 square foot building off of Old Road, I believe, and by New Road in there. NAR1. If you look at that site plan, simple, looks like a simple floor. But when you look at the preliminary site plan and on the plus statement that's online, it's going to be 75,000 square feet. And why this comes up is with this nursing home, should be looked at as moving into conditional or a change of zone. Everything is getting bigger and that's out of control. And with different things concerning what's institutional, with the way that you came up with the new definition for the commercial code, which is to be construed in a special use exception for Board of Adjustment, doesn't exactly do justice for what people want, the attorneys and everything else like that. To get it as with the institutional, it's a little ridiculous for Board of Adjustment to be handling this and not planning and zoning and county council. So you have that one going in. But here's the kicker that, going through the land use applications, that came up. Okay, next one, please. Now, this is another property that's coming in for a change of zone. It's catty corner to the other property. It's two buildings with 255 square foot buildings on each, 35 feet high, which are coming in under a change of zone into commercial, I believe, to see.
Just real quick, and I know Mr. Rieger has the right to speak public comment, but these are pending applications that are coming before the Board of Adjustment and Planning and Zoning and County Council, I believe. So with all due respect, probably we should make sure that they're part of the record and not talked about outside of the public hearing process.
So this is a change of zone, this one? Or this is coming in front of P&Z?
Yeah.
And the other one was a BOA?
Okay. That hasn't been heard yet, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care who they are. My whole opinion is strictly on the buildings and the structure. It was found on the internet by Googling from one of the applications on there. It's not concerning, but it is pulling in from the land docket for what's coming up. But if you look at it, can you give me the pictures of the diagrams underneath that one? Right there to that one. If you look at that picture in the dead center, the one in blue is the one with the 255,000 square foot buildings and a parking lot. Then you go to the one that's catty cornered with the light blue pond in the back corner is where the 75,000 square foot nursing home is going. If the applicant is for parcel, the top parcel coming in.
Yeah, Mr. Rieger, this really is not appropriate for the public comment before council. Rather, you should reserve this to appear before the Board of Adjustment and the Planning Commission. And then when this comes to the County Council, you would have an opportunity to speak to this. If you want to speak in general about some size of buildings or something like that, but to speak to specific applications is really not appropriate at this time.
Okay. Then to put it in perspective, basically a month ago, I did a FOIA complaint concerning another nursing home that was advertised as Holmes Nursing Home Aged Further Care. And without having it directly in front of me, and paraphrasing a little bit, when I tried to come up with an understanding with the assisted living being added to the code and the way it was put in under our definitions with the listing of all of them in that, I thought that it had taken care of the issue. But the main thing that I'm going for is this home for the aged nursing home for coming in under conditional nursing home or commercial and sending it in that direction.
Okay. And what Mr. Rieger, again, your time is up. Thanks.
Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I'm here to tell you, if you guys had done your job right, we wouldn't have this problem of these things coming in here and being worked on. First of all, under the new commercial zoning, if you would have redacted or repealed Board of Adjustments, garbage, this wouldn't be a problem. Because Board of Adjustment wouldn't have a 75,000 square foot building that they're going to approve at some point. And as far as I'm concerned, hey, you guys are the ones that done it. You guys need to get on the ball and get some ordinances introduced and remove that garbage from the Board of Adjustment and to make sure it goes through the proper channels. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Francis Hart. Francis Hart.
I'm here to speak on the transit.
The comp plan, 11 o'clock. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. One item today, wastewater agreement number 510-4. Sussex County Project Number 81-04, the Reserves Phase 4C, South Bethany Sanitary Sewer District. Give me a moment to pull that up. This is agreement between TAC Beacon 2 LLC for 44 single-family homes, system connection charges of $279,000. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 510-4, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and TAC Beacon 2 LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Reserves Phase 4C located in the South Bethany Sanitary Sewer District.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take a vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. County Administrator's Report for October 23rd, 2018. Item 1, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for September 2018 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 192 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of September. Item 2, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the estuary Phase 1C construction record received substantial completion effective October 17th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. Today on the agenda, I have the fiscal 2019 Human Service Grant recommendation. As every year, I give a presentation. You put funds in the budget, and I allocate those funds to various organizations. The program is countywide for nonprofit or agencies for the purpose of enhancing health and human services, which contribute to the safe, healthy, and self-sufficient community. They can use these funds for capital or operating expenses. The process was the same this year as in the past. They submit an application online. The deadline was September 30th. Finance then reviews the organization's status with the IRS. We look at the scope of the request. We then create a formula based on beneficiaries and the need, financial need. And then we figure out how best to utilize the grant funds that was allocated in the budget. So the budget was $225,000, and looking at the applications, the formula that we put together were, again, based on beneficiary, so there's a step there, and then depending on the financial need, there was additional dollars added. So the grants could range anywhere from $1,500 to $4,200. All Boys and Girls Clubs, I'm recommending $2,000 for there, which is an increase. Last year they got $1,800, and all Cheer and Senior Centers get allocated $5,500. The application statistics for this year, we did receive $542,000 in requests, which was similar to the previous year. It was 81 qualified organizations. We did have 7 new organizations added to the list. There was 150,000 beneficiaries, and again, those beneficiaries are probably accounted multiple times in those groups. Organizations raised approximately $8.4 million of other support, so council support is anywhere between 2 to 3% of the total funding for these projects. And then the pie chart on the right, you can see the type of beneficiaries that are being served by these grants, the largest being the youth, and then elderly, they make up about 50% total. So the fiscal year 2019 recipients are listed here. Like I said, there were 81 organizations. I had a list in your packet that gave what they requested, what grant they received last year, and what is recommended. For your consideration, I do have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Okay. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the fiscal year 2019 Human Service Grant allocation as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion?
Yeah, yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Cole.
Is there any additional funds if something comes up like after we adopt this?
I allocate everything but $90.
Huh?
$90 is left.
$90.
I allocate the whole thing.
Okay, is there another source of funding?
We usually use, I don't have too many because I call and keep, we don't usually have applications afterwards, but it would go to council grants after that.
But if like an example, say if we have an issue with homelessness and an issue comes in, mm-hmm. is there a place that we could find some funding?
Yes, sure, absolutely. We did that last year as well.
Okay. Any more questions, council? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
I think this is a great use of public money. Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
All will yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Randy Allman, presentation and discussion related to affordable housing. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to need a lot of those houses for those people coming up in the caravan.
If they all come here, we will.
Good morning. Okay, so this morning, wanted to talk to you about a potential effort we'd like to make through community development and housing to make some changes to the way we handle affordable housing here at the county. So as we discuss constantly, Sussex County's housing market is out of reach for our workforce. These charts, I don't know how easy they are to see, but on the left is some data from Delaware State Housing Authority related to some affordability gaps in home ownership. And you'll see in 2016, the annual median home price for Sussex County was $295,000, and that's demonstrated by that dotted line on the right-hand side of the chart. And you'll see the gaps, which is identified by the white, obviously, between the various occupations is sort of what is afforded by a secondary teacher, who's secondary teacher and registered nurse are most likely to be able to afford that pricing, but an EMT or library staff member or cashier have a pretty significant gap. On the right is the rental affordability gaps, and that's demonstrated by hourly wages. And so in 2017, the housing wage for a two-bedroom apartment in Sussex County was $17.60. And what that means is that's how much it would cost hourly to be able to afford the going rate for a two-bedroom apartment. And there is a gap, as you can see. I know it's kind of hard to see with the white, but a preschool teacher, which is actually kind of high in this chart, based on what I know from my own experience, is pretty close to that. But everyone else, there's a pretty big gap from what like a fast food clerk or a retail salesperson can afford based on what the actual market has available. So just some background about what we have done. As you remember, we had the real estate market boom of 2004, 2005, 2006. And this was actually predating me, but there were a lot of housing stakeholders that worked together with the county staff to create some kind of a solution because workforce and just low to moderate income households were being priced out of the market. And so that's where the moderately priced housing unit program came from back in 2006. There have been two amendments to that ordinance since then. It is a voluntary program. The incentives are bonus density and expedited review. There were originally six applicants to the program, but with the collapse of the market, the projects sort of fell through. Then in 2008, the rental program was developed in a similar fashion. There was an amendment recently in November of 2016. It is voluntary as well. There's a bonus density expedited review. There is one initial applicant, which is still kind of up in the air as far as if that one's gonna to come to fruition. So basically everything with the market collapse stalled and we just didn't move forward with any projects. So moving forward, as you know, over the last 2 years, we've just heard a significant amount of public input from the public, but as well as housing advocates about affordable housing. And I know that Sussex County Council has been very supportive of those efforts and has expressed an interest to move forward with figuring it out. And as you know, the current market conditions, we've seen an increase in housing construction, and it's booming, and so we want to really be able to capitalize on that for affordable housing as well. So we don't have any active applicants. We don't have any units constructed, so we really need to kind of make some significant updates to those programs. So what we have proposed for you to consider is a request for proposals. We'd like to issue a RFP to seek the assistance of a qualified consultant that specializes in affordable housing and inclusionary zoning specifically, to assist with evaluating the existing programs and offering recommendations for changes or replacement. So what we are proposing for a scope of work is to review the existing ordinances. We know they're not functioning, but we'd like to kind of review them, exactly what's going on. Also the market analysis of the current real estate market, the dynamics of the East and versus West, what levels we're really lacking in terms of what level of income and how many units are needed at those various income levels for rental and home ownership, what types of housing is necessary, and then also just analysis of the demographic and socioeconomic data for the county. And again, just to review the current policies, identify existing barriers that impede affordable housing development, and that could include, and as mentioned in the comp plan, a lot of this is going to satisfy a lot of our strategies and goals that were identified in the comp plan. And then sort of reviewing that mandatory versus voluntary policies, and then incorporating meetings with stakeholders, developers, realtors, anyone that has sort of a piece of this affordable housing and housing industry. So hopefully what we would get out of that is a report that would help us to identify incentives and alternatives that would properly, that would actually construct affordable housing units for Sussex County. The financial benefits, costs, and impacts of those incentives, assess the county's sort of capacity as far as staffing related to what is proposed, identify any additional resources that are needed, and the process, assumptions, and schedule for adjusting those policies. And this is just a very general vision of what a timeline might look like. Releasing the RFP this month, hopefully having some contracts signed in December, and seeing a report by the spring of 2019. And that's it. So happy to discuss there. I don't know that there's a motion necessary unless there's concern or opposition. Gina may be able to, Todd may be able to step in and help with.
The cost of this, the cost will be again what? How much is this cost? We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Okay. And you've already, I'm sure, Randy, in your capacity, has noted or looked at other jurisdictions and what they do.
Yes.
So I mean, I don't know if we have to spend so much money to find out, because we're not going to reinvent the wheel. I mean, there's all kinds of examples all over this country.
Right.
And even with that organization we belong to, NACO, they can provide all kinds of. Can't we just identify what's been successful in other areas, try to use our geographic type of location, you know, with the coastal area, with resort communities, and see if other resort communities have done something? Because, again, I have this conversation with you before, the only ones I know of that are successful is it's required.
Right.
With each development, that X percentage has to be. And you don't have to give all these incentives, right, and fee waivers and everything else. It's just part of the ordinance.
Right. And if that's part of what this would,
I just say, if you're going to build a project of a certain size, X amount of units, right, and that's the part that gets debated. So, I mean, we're just running around like a rabbit, chasing a rabbit in a circle. And we've talked about it, and we're getting nowhere with all these cute little programs that don't work.
Well, that's why.
So we got to bite the bullet and say, I know we don't like to require things here in Sussex County, but again, maybe it's what we need to do, or the future councils will need to do.
Mr. Arlett.
Yeah, just a comment slash question, but this is not a new conversation to this council. As you know, we've been pretty passionate about the need for it, and we are leaving our residents behind. I am confident in saying that, because The statistics show that. The housing median continues to go up. Wages do not increase accordingly. And who's left behind? Our own residents. The vacationers and secondary homeowners are driving the market, and the local families are the ones that are mostly struggling. So anything that we can do, we must do. And it's not you, because it's five members here that make the ultimate decision. But I think, you know, as George and I move on, I would encourage the council to be swift in the decision making and ensure that we are caring for our families locally versus otherwise. But one concern that I would have with that, and I don't know how we can do it, but whether it be in ordinance form or not, but you know, workforce housing or affordable housing, that it's actually there for our own residents and not the vacationers or secondary homeowners somehow have the opportunity to take up these properties. So how can we ensure that it's the local families that are ones that are going to be the recipients of this versus others? Right. Any thoughts on that?
We'd have to be careful about any kind of provision that would exclude certain people from making themselves available to the program, depending on the parameters. We could build in some kind of factors that would maybe bring folks to the top. Let me take a step back for a moment and say that in both Mr. Arlett and Mr. Cole's comments, when we heard some of this discussion through the comp plan and then also having some conversations with the elected officials here on the dais, we did gather some varying views on how to approach this. And this was staff's recommendation on how to go out and analyze and come up with a recommendation to bring back to you. This won't cost us anything but staff time at this point, Mr. Cole. And then once we get the RFP results back, that's when the true decision will be made. If it's worth us spending the money to then hire the consultants to go out and give us the information that we seek. Factors that Mr. Arlett brought up would be part of the focus of this study, if you so choose to make it.
Well, anywhere you go where there's resorts, resort housing is always more expensive than your average homes in, say, in counties that don't have resorts. So, you know, I don't care where the resort is, it's just it's a fact of life. It's just that type of property is more expensive. So, I mean, that's what skews everything's here in Sussex County. So that's why I say if you get some of these consultants come in and start looking at counties that aren't set up and aren't have the same geographic setup that we have, in the proximity to major markets and the low taxes and all this other stuff, all that adds in. It's a big picture, and the big picture is it's going to be more expensive to live at the beach. I don't care what we do, and unless we require the developers to put a certain percentage aside for this type of housing, we're having that battle of, you know, who's buying the property and stuff. We're just making affordable housing for the second home market, and I don't think that's any of our intent to do that. But
I mean, we're definitely not alone in my review of, you know, putting together the RFPs. It was actually interesting within the last 2 to 3 years how many jurisdictions have put out the same RFP that are
all
also very, that are so, I mean, obviously, you know, Sussex County is unique, but, you know, places like Burlington, Vermont just did this, which they, you know, opposite seasons, but similar experience with tourism, mm-hmm. You know, Grand County, Utah with the Grand Canyon. And so all these areas where they also have this influx of tourism and vacationers. And so it's definitely something that they found beneficial in speaking with them, you know, because there are certain techniques that you can use, whether it's the mandatory set aside, you know, a fee of some kind or a trust, you know, there's all sort of, but that's where I feel like we need the reliance of a someone to sort of help us play out the pros and cons of each of those versus me trying to interpret how they worked for other jurisdictions and how they would work for us based on our situation.
One last comment, Mike, if I may.
Mr. Harlan.
And that is when we have the working group piece, that element, mm-hmm. which I think is very, very critical, and we have those stakeholders. You mentioned realtors, developers, builders, but let's not also forget the consumer.
Oh, yeah.
I think the end user, the people, the real lives that are in those statistics, right, the EMTs and the teachers, right, and the cashiers, if there's an ability to include some of them,
absolutely.
Granted, could be during working hours, and that's a whole separate conversation, but I think it's really critical that we have real faces with real experiences that are part of the dialogue.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Mr. Burton.
I think that that this is a complicated issue and we need solutions, and I think that George, you probably can steal from other areas, but that let the consultant do that, right? Because it's our areas are different by a little bit than others, and so I think it's a complicated problem, and we ought to look to solve it. I don't know that I'm a big mandatory guy. I'd rather start with
we never have been. That's what I've
said. Carrot than go to the stick. And if we can do that in a timely fashion, which one of my questions was time. Is that realistic? I mean, is that timeline realistic?
And that's just sort of what we kind of were hoping for, and then I think that's where the RFPs may sort of show whether or not a consultant feels that that's a doable process. They may do it faster. I don't know.
When you talk to other jurisdictions, did they say that was a timeline?
I believe it was like a 3 to 8 month sort of average time is what it usually took.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Wolf, you have anything?
I think the most important person we better take care of is the veterans, especially those that's been injured in wars.
They would be a part of this, absolutely.
We are put up top, regardless of what the other people. They're able to work the 4 years while they're gone.
Okay.
Well, I think that certainly we all understand the need, and we all care about the need. I don't think any of us have the solution. So hopefully this process will help us find some solution, because certainly it's an issue we have to deal with, and sooner versus later. I don't see anybody that's really opposed to having an RFP, okay. So I would say move forward with the RFP. Okay. And then when that comes back, we'll see what the price tag is.
Then
we'll see what the solution will be.
Okay.
But thank you very much for all your hard work so far.
Amen. Thanks. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We don't want to go away, Sandra.
Okay, we're 10:30 public hearing. Plantation Road expansion, Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, West Rehoboth area. Step right on down, young man.
Sure. This is a time for a public hearing on the Plantation Road expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, West Rehoboth area. We will hear from Mr. Ashman giving a report of the county, after which people will have the opportunity to come forward and make a statement regarding their position on this. If you come forward and intend to speak, please stand at the speaker's stand, state your name and home address before you make a statement, and sign the sheet at the speaker's stand so we know specifically who it is. If you represent a group or an organization, please identify yourself, identify who you represent, and when you make your statement, please be concise and do not repeat yourself or what others have said. If you have a written statement, please hand it to me and it will be made a part of the record. We do ask that all persons in attendance consults in an orderly fashion. And if you do have any electronic advice, please turn them off or to silent service. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
This is for the Plantation Road expansion in our West Rehoboth area. It is for two parcels. One of those being requested by a consultant, Davis Bowen Friedel, on behalf of their clients, LMHT LLC, for parcel 334125701. Permission was granted to post the area on September 18th, 2018 for this expansion. The parcel wishes to connect to the existing force main that was installed as part of the county's EMS facilities on Plantation Road. An infrastructure agreement will be required if the expansion passes. The engineering department has requested to include parcel 5702, which is the EMS station, as part of our expansion. We are able to serve our own items without them being in the district, but once it's there, we might as well piggyback right beside it. The expansion will consist of 9.07 acres, more or less, and the property owner will be responsible for system connection charges of $6,360 per ADU, based on current rates. The parcels were posted on October 1st, 2018, and they were added to our county webpage. And to date, we have had no inquiries in support or of objection to the expansion.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak to this application or to this ordinance? Seeing none, close the public hearing.
Close the public hearing, and if you do, the council close public record. If you or somebody read the short resolution.
I can read it, that's fine. This is a resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include the parcels 334-12.00-57.01 and 57.02 on the south side of Plantations Road. Parcels are located in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, Delaware, recorded in the Office of Recorder of Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir. Mr. Medlars.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, council members.
Morning, sir.
Two items before you were pertaining to Western Sussex. The first one is the introduction of the borrowing ordinance. And that just gives you a quick update. I gave you some of the highlights, how we arrived, how the district was created, how the funding was applied for, how the funding was approved, and how you, administrator, responded to the letter of obligation. Now, before you hear, is the introduction to the borrowing ordinance. Normally, we don't close on this before the project is finished. However, in this particular case, because we're moving at an accelerated pace, and we're going to spend a significant amount of money up front on the first phase, which is going into Route 13, which is currently being submitted to DLDOT for permitting. So it makes sense to close on this loan. Part of this loan is loan forgiveness, and there's more loan forgiveness to be obtained if the budget is impacted by some of the DLDOT issues, Mr. President, you've been discussing. So, having said that, at this point, this is an introduction of the underlying borrowing. The underlying borrowing is for the entire amount, because we have to borrow the entire amount during the construction process. Loan forgiveness gets tagged on at the end.
Any questions, the council? Somebody's going to read the ordinance since we introduce it.
I have some.
This is an ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $16,634,748 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County in connection with the Western Sussex Regional Sanitary Sewer District project and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith.
Someone want to introduce this?
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Burton introduces it. Next, sir.
The next one deals with the interim agreement between the municipalities and the county, that being in this particular case, Bridgeville. You know, I gave you a whole history of all the different legal steps we've been through and where we are today and the various issues which already have been addressed. This particular agreement deals, it's authorized under Delaware Code, and it deals with the interim staffing and how we get compensated for this, the verification of the transition of the commercial accounts, which is a big step, will take a while. The lease arrangements for the municipal lands, that means the lease we get for our pump stations, as well as the lease arrangements for the spray farm the municipality owns, and how we assume the outstanding debt. The $16 million you just introduced also includes the outstanding debt, which gets refinanced in the county's name at a better rate. And last not least, it has the future operation of the spray farm, which is we continue to lease it under a farm lease agreement under our farm lease program. So having said that, we are currently at the point where the both councils have signed off on this. And we have the town council approval. So at this point, if you concur, the agreement is ready to be signed and to be acted on.
You have a motion?
I have a motion for the agreement, yes. Mm-hmm. be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that council approve the interim sewer operations and transition agreement with the town of Bridgeville as presented.
Pleasure, council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions?
Is that paid by the user? $16 million, is that paid by the user?
That is, yes. All in the western Sussex service area of the Unified District. That rate has been approved in the decision that commissioners made in Bridgeville and Greenwood, and that was the basis of our loan application, and that's also the basis of the financing.
You're charging that to Mike?
No. Out of my next council paycheck, yes, you can take that.
In a sense, Councilman Wilson, the city of Seaford certainly is a great partner, and it's a mutual benefit.
Be a benefit, but we're paying for it.
The users.
The users.
Right.
So all this goes through, and I think it's great, and you've done great work pulling everybody together. When would it be done? Everything's passed, and when is there a ribbon cutting?
Did you want to be at the ribbon cutting?
I'm trying to schedule my calendar right now.
He needs a lot of time. He's a busy calendar. You know, so.
Because we will have two ribbon cuttings.
He's back up there across the whole county.
The first one would be, the first project moving forward is the Route 13 work, and that has to do with an interaction with Delta Projects. And that is going to advertisement as soon as we have a permit. I will probably be before you within the next 3 months to seek authorization to award. So you have an initial ribbon cutting for the first project. We have a total of four projects. The other one be the pump stations, the other one's a gravity piece, and the last one is the remaining force main piece. So a total of four projects potentially we can see. But the real one, I think, when you cut to the chase, when will the flow go to the city of Seaford? That is the fall of 2020, and that's a consent order driven date, which is a very hard backstop, and that would be probably the official turning of the switch type ceremony, and that will be in the fall of 2020.
Great, thank you.
Two years.
Maybe we could arrange that thing that Mr. Burton could have the official first flush. You have a motion?
We have a motion.
It's on your side.
Campaigning. That's 2 years from now.
Yes, Greg, it will be. What?
Yeah. I should say, Mr. Councilman Mike.
Be moved based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department. I think we had the motion.
Do we have the motion?
I think we
have it. Okay, already had it.
I thought the motion.
I got hung up in the flushes there, so okay.
But I thought it was second.
Yes,
it was second. Okay. Then we'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Apologies, Mr. President. As I said, I think I got confused in the answering period.
We both did. It's okay.
We're staying on the west side of the county.
We are.
In your district.
Concord Road.
I think you will be, you personally and I personally, will be very pleased to see. I give you a little bit of the Concord Road funding history, the agreement history. You know, we have some complex arrangements with the town of Blades. It's a joint water sewer project. We are doing the administration of both ends. We have additional funding which came for the project, which included a significant amount of grant money, $145,000. And when it was all said and done and the Concord Road piece was concluded, there were additional funds remaining in the order of $200,000. We made Ms. Jennings and I, made a request to the USDA to have these funds reallocated to a project which is related to the Concord Road project, benefiting the same customers, i.e. existing Blades customers. That's an important aspect of this. USDA concurred in our request, which allows us to use these funds for the first piece towards commercial. That brings it to the JBT properties on the business park, and it allows us to reroute the flows from Little Meadows to that particular pump station on Concord Road, eliminating a pump station you had approved in the budget for capital improvements under this fiscal year. It doesn't get much better than that. That's sort of, and that's a coincidence. I did not say we planned that. just, I looked at the data and I looked at the elevations and it just worked out that way. We're actually spending less money in county funds because there's some county funds required as we would have had programmed for the pump station improvements. So it's a win-win, and we highly recommend it, Ms. Jennings.
You have a motion?
We do have a good motion for this one, yes. Be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, a change order number 3 for contract 1503 Concord Road Utility upgrade expansion of the Blade Sanitary Sewer District be approved, and that should be Blade Sanitary District Area be approved, which increases the contract amount by $290,803.50 for a new project total of $2,740,852.96.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir.
I'll stay on the podium and move over.
Mr. Ashman.
Mr. Ashman takes the first round on that.
All right, this is a request to provide engineering services for a project known as Tanglewood and New Marydale. Background history, in February of 2008, the engineering department held a public hearing for a Byard expansion of Miller Creek for the estuary project. At that time, residents from Tanglewood and New Marydale, as well as a community known as Oak Acres, appeared and requested inclusion in the sewer district. The engineering department was tasked with finding actual interest from those communities prior to council making a decision. The engineering department contacted those additional residents and reported back on February 12th from their the results of the community poll. Council included those parcels responding from Tanglewood and New Marydale, as well as all of Oak Acres, into that district expansion. The economy obviously put the estuary project on hold, and the infrastructure to serve those communities was held in hold as well. Fast forward to more recent times, the estuary project is proceeding and a connection is now available to tie infrastructure for Tanglewood and New Marydale. And once the infrastructure is nearby, we will return to request a project for Oak Acres. The engineering department is here today to request permission to authorize the design of the infrastructure for Tanglewood and New Marydale. It's about 19 parcels in total, similar to the Rio Rico project that we did about a year ago. And we have requested a quote from one of the miscellaneous consulting firms, and we have a proposal for an hourly contract with a not-to-exceed cost of $20,820.
You have a motion? Come on, and then we'll discuss it.
Yes,
or whatever.
We have a motion, but I'd like to add a couple of details.
Sure.
First of all, 10 years later, you know, like you saw the numbers, the request came in 2008. 10 years later, we're just now considering the design. There's obviously, you have to have infrastructure in place in order to tie to allow this to happen. Now, I'll give you a little bit of financial background. This project has been submitted under the notice of intent to the state. You may not know, but some of you certainly do know that we have some funding gaps in the state revolving loan fund. We have a couple of high priority projects right now in the applications phase, one being Mulberry Knoll, the other one being Joey Beach. The estate is certainly, let's say, is a heavy lift to bring all these projects to funding conclusion. So Ms. Jennings and I discussed some of these projects could potentially benefit from a county cell funding where we essentially create a charge against the accounts, but we also then create a situation where we don't fund the sewer connection charges, but we place them onto the connecting resident because they are enjoying a lower rate as if we had gone through the public funding, a lower assessment rate, that is. So I'm mentioning this here today because, and Mr. Ashman just touched on the name of a subdivision we just completed in that manner last year. You know, the people who requested that 10 years ago had no idea how this would play out. Now, in this particular instance, it is financially advantageous over the long run to approach it from a county-funded, the owner pays the sewer connection charge standpoint. But some people may find that the opposite is advantageous to their particular situation. And you may remember that sort of was a painful experience on this last one, which only included 11 lots, right? Yes, very similar to this here. But this project lends itself to this approach, and I wanted you all and the public to be aware of what we're doing, and that is a joint, what we, again, finance and engineering is doing. So you can see we're trying to move the project forward. There is a need. The need was established 10 years ago, but it is in such a way that it may be as a, let's call it, an unintended consequence. Our intention is to communicate this much earlier this time with the residents than we did the last time. So that one we can certainly put out for the public and for you to consider. So now with that background, we do have a motion.
Well, I just say, I also think, I know I'm getting old, my memory gets bad, but I think we did something like this in the fact that we took some county money and bought our own sewer bonds,
right,
and that revenue goes back to the fire service.
Correct. It was $10 million we had. It right. was a scruff debt.
Yeah,
that
okay, did that. Okay.
It's a similar funding approach,
right?
But it's, as I said, we've done it. It works well in small projects, which require, this would have come back as an all loan project. So from a financial perspective, long term, it is in the best interest of the citizens what we're approaching to do, but we have to communicate that very clearly.
Sure.
And I want to put that on the record today.
Okay.
Yeah, and basically, and especially since they were here in 2008, that system connection charge has increased dramatically from what it was at
sure.
that time.
Sure.
So we want to make them aware of what the impacts will be before we proceed with the project.
Sure. Okay. You have a motion?
Wait,
Mr. Burton.
How are you communicating this? Because I'm barely getting it. So how are they?
They will get a letter from the engineering department stating that we're looking at the project. This is what your impacts will be. This is what your system connection charge would be if we proceed in the manner that we're looking at. This is what your annual assessment fee will be, your annual service charge. We spell it all out in that letter and to get it to everybody that's out there that's involved in
it. Those people in yellow.
Everybody in yellow, yes.
And then they respond and say, I'm still in from 08, I'm still in, or I want to get in.
We can handle it as a polling as to whether they're still in, you know, they're in the district, so yes, if we put a project in, they will connect. But what we want to do is make sure that they know what is coming. If we hear hard times, if we hear that the whole place wants to finance the system connection charges, then we need to relook at our funding.
Okay.
Councilman, our approach will be very similar to Wolf Run. If you recall, Wolf Run was in the district, has been in the district for many years, but we needed to get some kind of an idea of what it would cost. Now there, it was the opposite. Because we required a significant amount of loan forgiveness, i.e. grant. So that one is on the notice of intent list at the state, and we will be filing an application. So here, we have the opportunity to do it the other way. And once, again, we need the design to come up with a solid cost estimate, so we can then communicate this intent to the customer and say, you can have sewer in the very near future under this approach, or you may never see it under the other approach. And then we can have a reasonable polling letter come back, which we will report to you.
Okay, so this just gets the bid going, so they know what they're...
No, it just gets the design of the design. So we know an estimated cost to
okay.
convey that to the...
Do you have a motion?
I do. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approves the engineering services proposal between Sussex County and George Miles and Bure LLC for sewer design for Tanglewood and New Marydale for an hourly contract with a not to exceed amount of $20,820 as presented on October 23rd.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second,
Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Well, we got 2 minutes to go. Do you think it's okay to start early, Mr. Rutt? Or
I can give the instructions, but
go.
I would not start the
well,
public hearing.
Well, you read slow.
Okay. Thank you.
Stand the door.